I want to begin with your homework assignment for the week, just so you're not caught off guard at the end of the sermon. Your assignment for this week has two parts, and no, I won't be collecting your homework. There's no heavenly grade book to worry about. This is just for you and for your own faithful imagination. The first part is this. Read chapters 9 through 11 of the book of Acts. 9 through 11. While you read, notice all the conversions of thought, who is in and who is out. Notice the visions and the slight and the large turns in perspective. Just notice them. The second part will come later. Last week, Reverend Justin Grimm from the St. Paul Area Synod was with us here in worship and led our adult forum. And during our adult forum time, he asked one of my favorite questions. What is God's dream for the church? What is God's dream for the church? It's one of my favorite questions because I know that we know some of the answers, but we are never done answering that question. We are never done listening for the Spirit working within us. We are never done being reformed to be God's people and God's creation. We are never done being made new because God is not done with us. Our scripture reading today brings us back to hearing about how God was calling and shaping that very brand new early church through visions, through conversions of thought, and through unlikely people coming together. These chapters and Acts are part of our history, but we can't let it stay in the past. The story informs our present and our future too. Through these stories, the Spirit keeps calling us to catch God's vision for who we are as the church. Today, as we look at Peter's vision, we might catch a vision of what God is up to in our lives. One of the visions we hear about today is this vision that God gave to Cornelius, a Roman officer, a Gentile, a faithful man, calling him to receive Peter, a Jew, into his home. But we don't hear all of that story of what happened when Peter came to see Cornelius. Peter, standing in Cornelius' house, says to him, "You yourselves know that this is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. The rules have started to be broken." This right here is the upside-down, topsy-turvy work of the Spirit transforming these men as they visit. According to customs, they simply aren't supposed to be here. They have no business being together, except that this is God's business. They visit. Cornelius tells him about his own vision, which brought Peter to him, and he says to Peter, "So now all of us are here. Remember, Gentiles and Jews together, in the presence of God, to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say." Peter says, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." You can almost hear the long-standing division start to crack. The customs, the laws are beginning to be less relevant. These are profound moments where the kingdom of heaven gets opened up a little bit bigger here on earth. For the first time, there are no insiders and outsiders as the church starts to imagine its shape. They're beginning to catch God's dream. What is God's dream for the church? If we learn anything from our readings and from the church's very beginning, it's that God's dream involves visions, conversions of thought, and unlikely people coming together. God's dream doesn't stick to the rules and the customs that we have created. God's dream feels bigger than us. And God keeps calling us to make it bigger and wider and breaking down all the barriers that we set up. And it sounds so good. But sometimes we're more comfortable creating barriers between us than we are breaking them down. Intentionally or unintentionally, we do this all the time. We see it in these chapters in Acts 2. We divvy up into us and them, insiders and outsiders, known and unknown. It's part of our human life. Sometimes we don't even think about it until we have a moment like the porcupine did, where we notice that we feel left out. Can you think back to a time when you were clearly in the in or the us crowd, when you were the majority in some way? Much of us spend most of our time there. How about flipped around? Think about a time when you were clearly seen as them or other, rather than part of the us group. I used to do tennis drills at the U once a week, and I was paired with a lovely woman who could clearly understand English, but she wasn't comfortable speaking English. As we were headed off to our court for the day, I asked how to pronounce her name, because it was important to me that I was saying it correctly and that she didn't feel like an outsider. Do you see what I did there? In my mind, trying to make her feel comfortable meant that I saw her as an outsider because her name was foreign to me. After a few tries, I got it, and Soon Suk gestured to me like, "And your name?" "Ruth," I said, sort of amused at the tables being turned. For us, Ruth is a very simple name. No one's ever asked me how to spell it, and no one's asked me how to pronounce it. But for Soon Suk, it was a bear of a name. She frowned, she wrinkled her brow, and tried really hard, but making those particular letters fit together was not working for her. And I was suddenly aware that for her, I was the unusual one. I was the one with the hard-to-pronounce name. In her world, I was the outsider. We both laughed, mangling each other's names, and went on to play. And I don't know what kind of an impact that interaction had on her, but it stuck with me for days. I realized how more often than not, I don't even realize my insider status, that I navigate the world without anybody telling me I'm out. We create all kinds of barriers between us based on whether we're big or spiky or square or soft. When you read through chapters 9 through 11 of Acts, notice how God keeps moving us toward God's dream for us as one through these visions, through conversion experiences, through transformations. You'll read how Ananias trusted God enough to find Saul, even though it was dangerous for him to do so. Saul, who was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, is transformed by a vision, by the Holy Spirit, to proclaim Jesus as Lord. We hear today about Cornelius, that Gentile Roman officer, and how he responded to God's vision and sent for Peter, opening up Peter's understanding of who belongs to God. Peter welcomed those visitors from Joppa in, setting the stage for the church to be made up of Jews and Gentiles alike. God's dream is inside out, topsy-turvy, and like the hug machine, there are no rules for who is in and who is out. As we think about God's dream for the church, I want us to hold on to that image of the hug machine. The hug machine boy says, I hug everyone I see. No one escapes the hug machine. Here's my disclaimer. Please don't go around hugging everyone and saying that Pastor Ruth said it was okay. We need to remember our personal space boundaries and issues of consent, okay? But you'll notice for the hug machine that there are no categories of us and them, insider and outsider, those who can be hugged and those who can't. The hug machine reminds me a lot of God reaching out to any and all of us to get to us with God's love and grace. Do we look like God's version of the hug machine on earth? Do we reflect that here in the church? The hug machine reminds me of God's dream for us. Back to your homework. Read chapters 9 through 11. Here's the second part. Think about, pray about, talk about what you think God's dream for the church looks like. Maybe you have some ideas already. Maybe you've had some of those insider-outsider experiences that inform how you feel the church should be living out its faith in the world. Maybe there are issues that are tugging at your heart, and you feel the Spirit leading you in faith to break down some of those barriers we've created. Maybe you've had a conversion of thought that informs who you are called to welcome or to listen to God alongside. One of my favorite authors, Rachel Held Evans, passed away yesterday. She was someone whose writings kept exploring God's dream for us, and I always appreciated her voice in the church. She knew that God is not done with us, and she explored in such faithful ways. In her book, Searching for Sunday, she talked about God's dream like this, and maybe it will spark your own thoughts this week as you think about that. She wrote, "This is what God's kingdom is like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at the table, not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry, because they said yes, and there's always room for more." May we keep saying yes, and may we reach out in faith to catch God's dream. Amen.